morning, I'd like to turn your attention just to one verse in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25. This verse is one of the great texts of Scripture and written particularly for the salvation of sinners. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25. We read here, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Now, if you read that verse in its context, really there's a dark background if you go just as far back as verse 22 to 24. There you'll see a people who weary God, who sin against him, who don't seek God, who give him the worst rather than the best. And yet, though there's this dark background, we have this wonderful promise that shines so brightly. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Now, this promise is repeated in different ways throughout the Bible. But just turn over to chapter 44 and verse 22, and we have a very similar promise given to Israel. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. It's a wonderful promise. It's shown that the Lord delights in mercy. His people have been rebellious, and yet the Lord says, not because there's anything about them that merits mercy, but because he loves them. And for his own name's sake and for his own glory, he will blot out permanently their sins. And he will choose not to remember them anymore. Now, that doesn't mean that God literally forgets all the things that God's people or people have done. God knows everything. But he chooses not to call to remembrance those sins. He doesn't put those sins to our account. He blots out our sins and he says, I will remember them no more. A wonderful promise for sinners this morning. A promise of forgiveness to a rebellious people. Now, we're going to ask five questions. Looking at our text in verse 25, it mentions the word transgression. So we're going to ask, what is transgression? Secondly, how serious is it? Thirdly, why do we transgress? Fourthly, what is the good news? And fifthly, how should we respond to it? It's no good having good news if we don't respond to it. Well, what is transgression? Transgression is a word which simply means the breaking of a law. In the Bible it says, where there is no law, there is no transgression. So to explain it in human terms, if you pass a speed limit and you're caught on a speed camera, you've transgressed the law. Now, whereas trespassing, which is slightly different to transgression, trespassing means stepping over the boundary, crossing a line. So you're told you can't go into this property. If you go over the fence, you're trespassing. Transgression is slightly more than that. Yes, it is overstepping the mark, overstepping the boundary of God's law. But transgression in the Bible is described as committing sin, commission of sin, but is also described as omission, not doing what you ought to do. So in this passage, verses 22 to 24 are taken up mainly with sins of omission. These people hadn't loved God with all of their heart. They hadn't enjoyed serving him. They hadn't enjoyed his worship. They hadn't prayed to him. They hadn't called upon him. They found his worship wearisome and burdensome. There are many sacrifices that were required in the Old Testament that they just didn't bring. They didn't bring the best. They didn't bring the lambs and the sheep. Their sins were sins of omission. You see, sin isn't just not committing adultery. and not murdering and not lying. You have a boundary there and you know that you mustn't transgress it and you mustn't commit sin. Sin is much more than that. Transgression is much more than that. It's not doing the things that you ought to do before God. And that takes us into a whole other realm. See, transgression is about the law of God, the Ten Commandments. If you're listening to the wedding yesterday, or you saw a repeat of it, the preacher there, he said, well, how do we describe the whole teaching of the law and the prophets in the Old Testament? What is the summary of it? Well, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself. And that sums up the whole law of God. And that sums up the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are to do with love for God. You have no other idols. You love him above all other. He's the only one. You don't take his name in vain. His name is precious to you. You would never make a graven image, an idol of him. You love him. He's spirit. You keep his day holy because it's a pleasure to be in his presence. How good it is and how pleasant it is to come to God's house. You love God. You love his word. And you love your neighbour as yourself. You honour your parents. You don't commit adultery. And Jesus said that's not just a physical act. If you really love your neighbour, well, you don't have impure intentions. You don't lust in your heart after his wife. And committing murder, Jesus said, isn't just the act. It's the hatred within the heart. You don't hate another person. You see, the Ten Commandments are all about loving God and loving our neighbour. And that includes sins of commission and sins of omission if we do not obey that glorious royal law of love. So what is transgression? It's the breaking of this law of love. Turn with me to James chapter 2 in the New Testament. James chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbour as yourself, and you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. So if you treat one person in a better way than another, so two different people come into the church, one's smelly and dirty and a tramp and lives on the street, and one's really trendy and got the gift of speaking, and you treat that person that you like in the nice clothes better than the one at the back who's a tramp and smelly, you've broken God's law. You've shown partiality. If you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is guilty of all. So the Bible says you break one little, or what seems to be a little law, and you break the whole law of God. It's like a pane of glass, isn't it? A little break may shatter the whole pane. And so we read on. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you'll become a transgressor of the law. So it's no good saying, well, I keep this part of the law. I'm good in this area. I'm not like that other person. I'm quite honest and quite nice. And there's an awful lot that's good about me. God says, if you break one little part of the law, and remember how Jesus spoke about the real heart of the law, which is all to do with the thoughts and the intents of your heart. If you've broken one small part, you've broken the whole Lord of God. And so what do we say here this morning? We say we're all transgressors. We say that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet God says in our verse in Isaiah 43, yet I, even I, will blot out your transgressions. I will remember them no more for my own name's sake. What a glorious promise God holds out to sinners like you and I. So we've answered the question, what is transgression? But how serious is it? How serious do you treat your sin? Do you see your sin as an affront to a holy God? Do you see your sin as that which grieves the heart of God and brings down divine wrath? Do you believe that God is so holy that he cannot look upon sin? He is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. Do you believe that God has to punish sin if he's just and if he's holy? He can never sweep sin under the carpet. Do you believe that every single sin deserves divine wrath? We ought to tremble at sin. In Ezra 9:4, when God's people realized the extent of their sin, it says that they trembled at his word. I wonder if we lost that sense of trembling at our sins. David, when he sinned against the Lord, he was so concerned. He wondered if he'd lost his salvation. He cried out to God, Take not your Holy Spirit from me. He pleaded with the Lord for forgiveness. Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. He could only plead the mercy and the loving kindness of God. It was because he believed that God is love, and because he believed that God had a multitude of tender mercies, that there could be forgiveness for him. So he pleaded the tender mercies and the loving kindness of God. He says this, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. In other words, I feel so polluted, so dirty, so unclean. Lord, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin. I wonder, do we do that? Is that the thing that we find hardest to do, to actually confess sin, to see sin for what it is, and to acknowledge it and to confess it before God? David found it very difficult to confess his sin. But he did. I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. You see, it wasn't just that he sinned against others, and that was terrible, but he sinned against God. And he said, this sin is forever in my mind, it's forever in my thoughts, and it's ever forever before me. And my sin is very deep, it's ingrained in my nature. And I've been born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And it's before you and against you that I've sinned. You only. You only have I sinned against. But it's when a person comes to that position, the Lord says, I'll blot out all of your transgressions, all of them. I will remember them no more. You see, it's a terrible thing when we make light of sin. When we excuse it, when we say, but the Lord understands. When we say, well, he's died on the cross for me. So really, sin isn't such a big deal anyway. Will God forgive us if we treat him like that? If we use the cross as some sort of excuse for sin? In Ezekiel 39:24, it says this, that God hides his face from those who transgress against him and do not repent. Twice in the Bible it says that God will not forgive transgression. And he says that to his people in Exodus 23:21 and in Joshua 24:19. Why does he say he will not forgive? I will not forgive. is when his people make light of sin, when his people excuse sin. So we need to be like Job. Job said this, "Make me to know my transgression and sin." We can be blind to our own sin. And we need to pray, "Lord, show me. Show me that I'm a sinner and show me what my sin is. Lighten up those areas in my life that are not pleasing to you. Show me the gravity of my sin. And Lord, have mercy upon me." And the Lord hears such a prayer as that. And the Lord blots out sin and remembers sin no more when we come like that. You see, these people, they were treating God really badly. Isaiah 43:22. After so many promises, you've got verse 1 to verse 21 that gives us promise after promise after promise after promise. "You are mine. I've called you by name. You are mine," he says to them. Wonderful, precious promises he gives to his people. But then he says, "But you have not called upon me. You've not even prayed. You've not even sought me. You've not even opened your mouth and uttered a prayer to me. You haven't even called upon me. There's no vital relationship. You go through a day and you go through a week and I'm not in your thoughts. And I've done all this for you and you can't care about me. You don't even pray to me. You don't call upon my name." Verse 22, "And you've been weary of me." I wonder how many people up and down the land of Wales and Great Britain are weary of coming to church. They do it because they feel they ought to come to church. Something brings them to church, but they have no pleasure in God's presence. No pleasure in hearing the word of God explained. No pleasure in singing his praises. They're weary. Verse 23, "You've brought me, you have not brought me the sheep for your burnt offerings." I wonder how many people in Wales are like that. I'm not talking about physical sheep, but we haven't brought the best to God. We give him our worst. We don't offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. We don't serve him with our whole hearts. "Nor have you honoured me with your sacrifices. I have not caused you to serve with grain offerings, nor wearied you with incense." God is saying, "I don't weary you. My commandments are not burdensome. I'm very gracious and tender. I don't ask too much from you. All I'm asking is for your heart. You brought me no sweet cane with money, nothing that was a substance, sweet cane that was used for the incense. It was too much for you. You didn't want to spend your money on that." I wonder how many people in Wales today are robbing God, not bringing their tithes and offerings to the Lord, spending their money just on themselves and their families, and not investing in God's kingdom and giving to the poor and the needy. "But you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities." And yet, though God says that, he says, "I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins." It's amazing, isn't it? Sinning against the light is a worse form of sin. These were the people who had the light of the knowledge of God. They had the law of God. They had the things of God. And when God's people sin, it's far worse than the unbeliever's sin, because we're sinning against all of God's kindness and all of his love. And yet, even though they'd sinned in a high-handed way, God is still saying, "Well, if you repent, if you come with a broken spirit, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions." So we've answered the question, what is transgression? We've answered the question to a certain extent, how serious is it? It brings the displeasure of God and the wrath of God upon us. But then why do we transgress? The Bible teaches us we sin because we're born sinners. We sin because we have a sinful nature. Isaiah 48 verse 9, they were transgressors from the womb. In other words, sin is ingrained within us. It's part of our DNA. It's a very deep problem. And so Ezekiel, the prophet, cried out in Ezekiel 18:31, cast away from you all of your transgressions which you have committed and get yourselves a new heart. Do you see that you cannot overcome your sin? You cannot win the victory over sin. You cannot clean your life up. You cannot reform yourself. You cannot improve yourself. You cannot make yourself a good and a nice person, outwardly to a certain extent. Certain amount of good acts, of course. But you cannot make yourself righteous before God. You have a sinful heart, and so your heart needs to be dealt with. Out of your heart proceeds all sorts of thoughts, covetous thoughts, bitterness, murder, envy, all sorts, adultery. All of this comes from your heart and is part of you. And so Ezekiel says, get yourself a new heart. You need a new heart. And that's only something which God can give you. You need to be born again. You see, this promise, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, can only be given to those who come in faith, believing in Jesus Christ, believing that he died upon the cross for their sins and that he rose from the dead. All those who've come to God and said, my heart is unclean. Lord, cleanse my heart, cleanse me within, forgive me, give me a new heart. The promise is for such people. You see, we need a change on the inside before there's ever going to be a change on the outside. But then lastly, our last two questions. What is the good news? This news is tremendous news, isn't it? I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions. What is the gospel? What's the good news of Christianity? What's the promise that we've got to give to the world? We've got a God who's saying this. If you come in faith, believing in me, repenting of your sin, what I'll do, I'll make you as white as snow. You think of a dirty shirt or somebody who's played rugby and or somebody who's been in a fight and is full of blood. How do you get that shirt, that top, totally white? Maybe some say you use Vanish, others say put it in bleach. Seems an impossible task. But God is saying, though you may have an impossible task, you've got an unregenerate, dirty heart, deeply ingrained by sin. I will make it as white as snow. I will purge you and cleanse you. I will forgive you. Do you remember the promise in Isaiah 1:18? Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be as wool. You see, that's what God does. He thoroughly purges the conscience, thoroughly cleanses. Why does he do this? He does this because of his great love for the sinner. You'll never come to God if you think he's only a God of wrath. But if you see him as a God of immense love and pity, who sent his only son into this world, surely you'll run to him. If you see that he desires that you'll be saved and forgiven, and he will blot out all of your sins, you'll come to him. If you see that he is the lover of your soul and has loved you so much that he's given his only son, you'll come to this God. And if you see that God in heaven is a father to all who believe, you'll run to him. Come to the Lord Jesus. Come to the Father in heaven. He says, I will blot out all of your transgressions. And he'll do it for his own name's sake. He gets glory. You see, he's not just doing it for our sake, but he does it for his sake, the Father has given a people to his Son as a prize. It's for his glory. And he says, I'll do it for my own name's sake. I will remember their sins no more. Turn with me to Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. How does he wipe out our transgressions? How does he cleanse us? He does it through the cross. And here we have Isaiah's prophecy, 700 years before the death of Jesus, speaking so clearly about our Saviour. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's the good news. We've all gone astray, but the Father has laid our sin upon Jesus at the cross. The iniquity of all, us all, he's taken it to himself. He who knew no sin became sin for us. That's the wonderful good news. God must punish sin. He can never sweep it under the carpet. But Jesus says, I will take their punishment. I'll take their sin. I'll take divine wrath against their sin. And I'll die in their place. Because the Father loved us, and the Son loved us, and the Holy Spirit loved us. They agreed that this would be the way that our sins would be removed far from us. And if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David said, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Are you one of those happy people, one of those blessed people? Do you know that all of your sin is forgiven, all of it is covered? Do you know that the blood of Jesus Christ has paid in full for your sin and you're trusting only in him? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. How awful for the man where the Lord charges him for his iniquity and his sin. And that man dies and he comes before the judgment of God, that man or that woman, and they're in the presence of God. And the Lord says, you've sinned. I'm charging you. And you will be punished for your sin. How terrible. But how blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. He dies. He stands before the judgment of God. And he's a sinner. As much a sinner as anybody else. But he's believed in Jesus. He's trusted in him. And his sin has been laid upon Christ. And the Father looks at this guilty sinner and says, You're justified, come into my heaven. The Bible gives wonderful promises to all who believe, all who fear God, all who believe in Jesus Christ. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Is this not the best news ever? Is this not wonderful good news? And so I ask you to close this morning. What is your response? Are you going to keep relying upon yourself, thinking that you're a good person and excusing your sin? Or will you confess your sin? Will you say, as David said, wash me and I shall be whiter than the snow? Will you believe the promise of God that he blots out all of our transgressions, not some of them, but all of them? Do you believe that he's a God pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression because he delights in mercy? Have you seen the love of God in the face of Jesus Christ? Have you heard Jesus praying upon the cross, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do? And have you believed in Jesus? May that be so. Amen.